We all go through different experiences at different moments of our lives. And part of us wants to be in control of everything. Because we think if we're in control, at least we know where we're going to end up. But then when the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, that intuition tells, do this. Because we don't have a way to verify it, whether it's going to turn out the way we want it, because we can't control it, we become doubtful. While doubt is often portrayed as something to overcome, especially when it comes to faith, it is a known fact that in the Christian Bible, some biblical figures also experienced it. Letting us know that it can serve as a catalyst for deeper understanding and a stronger relationship with God. Sarah doubted, we've all heard of Thomas the doubting Thomas, but we hear the expression, the disciple of Jesus. Peter doubted. He saw Jesus walking. He wanted to walk on the water too. And at a point, his dad came in and he began to say, Master, help me. Even John the Baptist doubted if Jesus was the Messiah that was expected. So doubt is a common thing if you are in the human body. It's part of life. No matter how spiritually advanced you are, until you become that the oneness we seek with God, then the doubt wanes off. Because now you begin, because doubt itself impedes the flow of that grace of our connection to the creator of all there is. So persistent doubt can hinder spiritual growth. But when you are honest with yourself and you give it to God, then guess what? It gives you deeper understanding. Grace is portrayed as God's undeserved and unearned favor, freely given out of that boundless love and kindness. So you don't need to do anything for grace. So God's grace addresses human doubt with patience and compassion. God does not reject us because we doubt. but instead invites us to explore and resolve our doubts through that deeper encounter. Can you imagine if because Peter doubted and Jesus allowed him to sink in the water and begin? Or if the angel that told Abraham that Sarah will have a child, and Sarah is like, yeah, right, at this age. Even Abraham like, are we sure? I'm already 90 or something. And because of that, they say, okay, you doubt no more. You won't get that child. No, but that grace understands and say, in spite of your doubt, this is what's going to happen. Even Prophet Eli in the Old Testament doubted that he will have a child, Elizabeth. But then the angel taught him a lesson because he is the priest, he's the prophet right there in the middle of everybody come. He said, because you doubted, you will not be able to speak until when that child comes in. Not because the grace could have just, but the grace said, okay, you will learn, you've been close to me enough. So the scripture teaches that doubt is a part of the human experience that God addresses with grace and mercy. God said, bring your doubt to me. So if we really want to do it, we can see doubt as the what if. Because that's what usually comes to our mind. What if? Okay, what if this? What if that? What if God has forgotten me? What if the suffering doesn't stop? Especially when we're asking for healing. Maybe I better go take that medication. Maybe I better go do this. And Spirit said, you're already healed. Well, what if science says no? You know, I like to see the, you know, what if I don't have what I need when I need it? Even though God said, I will provide for you. So instead of trusting, and accepting and embracing what we think, what we know is true, we fill in those gaps with the age-old way of doubt. What if? So what does the Bible actually say? And how do we overcome doubt? In the book of Proverbs, this is the Old Testament of the Bible, chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Because we do that all the time. That's where we get what if. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Let the what if go. Don't hold on to it. It's okay if it rises, but let it go. The moment you attach yourself, embrace it, and cling to it, now that's where the impediment comes. In the same Old Testament of the Christian Bible, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But some of us say, well, I want to see God face to face. I want to be able to pinch God, then I know God is with me. And this is what Jesus said in the book of John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus is saying, the peace I give to you, it's not the kind of peace that maybe, oh, because now you have a little money or, you know, you meet somebody. No, this peace is everlasting. And someone will say, yeah, everlasting. Well, why not just give me something now? What if the peace you talk about after you're gone is no longer last? What are we supposed to do? And in the same New Testament, book of Matthew 21:20, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. The opposite of doubt. And we all know if you have faith like the mustard seed, you will move the mountains. Book of James 1:6-8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. I always like that. Because if you've been to the sea, you know what happens. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Because that's what Eve does to us. I haven't quoted the Bible in various chapters and all of them for so many ways. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If you say you don't want to be in a relationship, God is not going to stalk you, The one you are happy to be in a relationship with, then they will open up. Just give them time. We tend to like people who like us, isn't it? And we tend to be like, okay, you don't want, all right, okay, I'll go to my corner. And some of you have heard me quote this next verse, Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Because most of us, if we don't have the verification, we don't know how our life will turn out. And the Lord is saying, for I know for sure the plan I have for you. So go on, go take that job. It will be all right. Go into that relationship. That's the one I chose for you. Move to that location. You might not have family or friends. It will turn out right. You will make new friends. And they will become your family. Yeah, be part of that spiritual community. It will help in your spiritual growth. Because I know before you were born, I already made those plans. But Lord, how will I know that? Even Blessed Mother Mary, didn't he say to Angel Gabriel, when he said, look, you will conceive a child, said, but then how will I know? So that the Spirit of God will be upon you and all of that. And then this one, John 20:27. This is Jesus saying to Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Because they've been telling Thomas, oh, Master has returned. He said, yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. We know Master was crucified. He said, okay. And then Master showed up. Like, yeah, but Lord, Master, I'd like to know it's you. Okay, put your finger in the where I was nailed, and put your finger on the side where I was stabbed, and you know. Say, okay, I believe. In spite of that, Jesus didn't reject him. But he said, blessed are those who believe without seeing, without verification. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It doesn't get better than that. God says, I am with you. Nothing can, not one strand of your hair can be removed. Don't you worry. Go into the battle of life. I'm with you. Before you were even born, I've already empowered you with that. Go forth and conquer and overcome and enjoy the world I've planned for you. In our Bible study, we're reading the book of Mark. Here's one from Mark 9:24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Remember, I say, Lord, can you do this? He said, really? He said, I believe. Okay, I know. And in the same Mark 11:23, this time, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. That is Jesus telling you. It doesn't get better than that. So don't crucify yourself. You initially have doubt. Just don't cling on to it. Trust. And then you begin to see the miracles of the Lord. Now, here's a story to get this home. A saint used to live with his disciples. So one day, one of the disciples came to the saint and requested, Master, dear teacher, my sister's wedding is in a month. I would like to go there for 10 days. Kindly bless me. It would be wonderful if you could come too. So it's like asking God, Lord, I'd like to take a vacation for 10 days. Could you provide me the means and all of that? The saint replied, my son, time will tell whether I can come or not, but I will definitely send you. Disciple continued to hint to the saint in hopes that he will receive some help, because he knows if the saint comes with him, things will go well. And of course, if you are following on the spiritual path, Sometimes they don't give you all the wealth you want. They give you spiritual, but not the money. So the disciple is thinking, at least if the teacher comes with me, he will bring some money so that at least people won't look down on me like, oh, what did you bring to your sister's wedding? Finally, the day came. The disciple said, Master, I'll be leaving tomorrow morning. And the teacher said, all right, my son. Next morning, as the disciple was about to leave, the saint gave him 5 pounds of pomegranate and said, take this. May God bless your sister's wedding to be so grand that the world remembers it. Take these 2 fellow disciples with you, complete the wedding, and return to me. Come back. And we know how humans we are. If we have money and all of that, we need. So maybe even this wedding will be grander than Jeff Bezos' wedding. And we've read stories across the world where wealthy people spend even more than what Jeff Bezos spent. Even though we're on the spiritual path, we're still tempted by, you know, these things. Maybe we want to show off, you know, so that people will know. So the disciple at least wanted them to know he contributed to his sister's wedding. So as they left the ashram, their spiritual community property, and walked some distance, the disciples whose sister's wedding it was told the others, said, Master knew we have nothing, and yet he didn't help me financially. Two days later, they reached his hometown. It was in a sandy region, you know, where you can't grow pomegranate or any of these things, where no crops or trees grew, you know, if you ever been to the desert. Around the same time, the daughter of the local king fell seriously ill. So the doctor to the king said, if this girl is giving this medicine along with pomegranate juice, she will recover. So the influencers and all the other, they will send it on social media. King and I publicly on TikTok. Whatever will get the attention. Whoever has pomegranate will be greatly rewarded. The press secretary called the press. If anyone has pomegranate, come quickly. Kings need them urgently. Hearing this, the disciples went to the press secretary and said, oh, we have pomegranate. They were taken to the king. The pomegranates were juiced and given with the medicine, and the princess recovered. The king asked, where are you from? The disciple told the whole story. After listening to this, the king declared, then I will take responsibility for your sister's wedding. The king ordered a wedding so grand that people would think it was a royal marriage. Every guest received gifts of gold and silver. The bride was given great wealth. Her parents were given land, a luxurious house, and lots of money. The bride left happily. Sometimes we are like the disciples of Jesus. We forget they embody the supreme power of the supreme creator of all. So when they say it, it will happen. Even though our dad, like, because we can't see it, like. And Jesus gave us several examples of that. It's like our teachers in colleges, they know more than what we know. That's why they are a teacher and they're telling us, okay, we've done this, so this is the result. So we should trust their words, saying they know what they are talking about. Jesus said it. He said, there are many rooms in my Father's castle. If not, I wouldn't be telling you. The disciples think, what am I supposed to do with pomegranate? I needed money so that I can help my sister, and this is what the teacher gave me. And now we saw what happened. He should have had faith instead of did that. But the divine grace didn't stop in spite of him having doubt, because he didn't know, what am I, eat this? So carrying pomegranate into a desert may have seemed pointless, but it became a divine blessing, isn't it? Nothing in life is meaningless. That's part of the healing. Because he thought, what am I going to do with this? If people are in our lives, we may not know why God put them there. Just because they are not active or they couldn't contribute, you don't know what God is using them for in the background. Even those who seem to do nothing for us may end up doing everything. Because when their blessings come, guess what? Now they can share more. Even though all this time, like, well, I can't do it. And that's why we shouldn't look down on people. Because divine grace is more powerful. We've heard stories of people come from poor backgrounds and yet they excel in life, whether academic or professional life or business. Nothing in life is meaningless. Doubt and divine grace sometimes go hand in hand. Because sometimes that grace will make something happen so that then you can see the power of God. Remember Pharaoh and Moses? God made sure that Pharaoh's heart is hard. And God said, well, I'll show you who has the power. You might think you are the Pharaoh. I'm the one who made you the Pharaoh. Then the Red Sea and all the other. Even when Moses had that, like, Lord, you know I started. So how am I going to say, take your brother with you. He will help you. You know how I ran out of Egypt. If I go back there, they're going to lock me up and kill me. I'm going with you. I'm with you. Remember the story of Joseph? How the lion ended up. That's grace, because we never know what grace has in store for us. If you have that, it's fine, but don't cling to it. Let it go. And then we'll find out every situation in our life has a meaning, because God's grace flows through everything. May we continue to live in that grace now and forever. Amen.
Amen.